We'll turn to one portion to begin with our study this evening, that is Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 and 12, that is to just begin our study. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 and 12, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Shall we look to the Lord in prayer? O God, our Father, we thank you for this time you have given us to study your word again. Lord, as we just remembered, Lord, another series of studies, we pray, Lord, that may give grace to study and prepare and teach thy people, and we all may together study, and it may be a blessing to all of us, O Lord. Lord, we pray that the portion that we have taken to study may be beneficial to us, and we all may be blessed and edified, encouraged, so that we may be able to live a better Christian life in the coming days. We thank thee, we praise thee, we give all glory unto thee in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I hope you understood the topic by now. It's not very, you know, popular topic, not very interest. Even I myself took on this topic 7 years ago. In all these 7 years, I never took on this topic, that is spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare. When I took that study some years ago, that is 7 years, in 2005, it was an encouragement to me. I was so much benefited from that study, but somehow I just kept that notes with me and never took it again. See, somehow, we are not going to see that. Today is only an introduction. Somehow, especially among the brethren, we believers, we don't give that much importance to spiritual warfare. And I don't know what you think about it, but there are certain people who overemphasize it, who always think about spiritual warfare, who always rebuke devil, and they always go after demons and evil forces and like that. And even they will say that in the corner of your house also there are demons, so you have to rebuke them, then only it can go away. So they are going after demons always. That is something going to another extreme. But at the same time, Bible teaches that there is a warfare. There is a fight. See, these verses are very clear. You know, Apostle Paul says here in chapter 6, 10 onwards or 11 onwards, he says that believers, Christians are in a warfare. It's a fact. I don't know. I see in Malayalam there is a song, one sentence is, Yudham Cheyum Nyan Yeshuvinai. One song is there. In that song, one line is there. Yudham Cheyum Nyan Yeshuvinai. And somebody changed it. I don't know who changed it. Maybe somebody from Borivali itself. I don't know. They changed into Seva Cheyum Nyan Yeshuvinai. Because they are not interested. They are not happy with that sentence. Yudham Cheyum Nyan Yeshuvinai. We will, we will fight for Jesus. We will serve for Jesus. See, I don't know. Maybe they are sincere in their own idea. But there is a truth. We are not happy or we are not interested to think about spiritual warfare. But the Bible says there is a spiritual warfare. Because here itself we see that. And we must remember in the book of Ephesians, you know the outline. First three chapters, Apostle Paul deals with the wealth of a Christian. In Christ, in heaven, in the church. Then in chapter 4 and 5, he speaks about the walk of a Christian. Then along with that, just close to that, he speaks about the warfare of a Christian. So if the wealth of a Christian is important, if the walk of a Christian is important, then the warfare also is important. Warfare of a Christian or spiritual warfare is very much connected to wealth as well as what? Walk of a Christian. See, there are many other references, not only here in Ephesians chapter 6. We have a lot of references where we see Apostle Paul and Peter refers to the warfare of a Christian. I'll just go through those verses. Paul exhorts the assemblies, the Christians. I don't think we will go to those references. I'll just quote it. Romans 13:12. See, Apostle Paul says, night is far spent. So what shall we do? Put on the armor of light. Night is far spent. So put on the armor of light. Then in 1 Thessalonians 5:8, he says, be sober, putting on the breastplate. Be watchful. Be diligent. Be ready to fight. Put on the armor again, he says there. Then Apostle Paul, referring to the co-workers, he says that in Philippians 2:25. And also in Philemon, he says, referring to his co-workers, he says that fellow soldiers in Christ. We are fighting. We are fighting. And then Paul's instruction to Timothy. Three verses are there. 1 Timothy 1:18, Apostle Paul says, you wage a good warfare. 6:12, he says, fight the good fight of faith. 2 Timothy 2:3, he says, endure hardship as a good soldier of Christ. So, see, exhorting the young pastor or believer or worker, Christian worker, Paul says you should fight. In Paul's own experience, you see, in Philippians 1:30, he says that, to Philippians, he says, you suffer in the same way we all fight. We all face the warfare. He says, the same conflict that I have, you also face. And also in 2 Corinthians 6:7, he says that, take the armor on the right and left in Paul's ministry. Then finally, you remember that verse, 2 Timothy 4:7, referring to his fight, what Apostle Paul says. 2 Timothy 4:7, I fought a good fight. So, see, there's a fight. Paul says that my ministry, my life is a fight against the evil forces. So, we are in a battlefield. Peter also says, 1 Peter 2:11, war against the soul. And also 5:8, very familiar verse. Devil, like a roaring lion moving around. Then, another interesting thing is, the Bible says, even the angels are facing it. Where do we read that? The angels. In Daniel chapter 10, 13, Daniel was praying. God sends an angel. But in between, on the way, evil forces attacked the angel. Then who came? How many days? Evil forces stopped that angel? 21 days. 21 days. Then who came to help him? The archangel. Michael came. So, we read that the angels also faced warfare from evil forces. Jude says in Jude 9, even Michael had to face whom? Devil himself. What was the occasion? In connection with the body of Moses. Devil himself fought against Michael. So we read there throughout the Bible. We see in Revelation 12 also, we see in verse 7 and 17, you know those verses, in heaven and on earth, in future, there is a warfare between the angels and the evil forces. So the Bible, New Testament, throughout the Bible, we see God's people, they have to fight. They have to face a spiritual warfare. They need to be ready for that. Now, but then what is the reason why we are not very much careful about it? I do personally, I like questions, you know, I like to hear from you. But today I'm not asking you because I don't know what is your idea, mind. People generally, they are happy to just keep on listening. But just think about it at least, even if you don't answer me, think about it. What is the reason why, even though, see, even after having so many references related to Christians' warfare, Paul speaks about himself, Paul encouraging or exhorting the churches, and Paul encouraging the workers, believers, and Paul says about the co-workers and Peter, and the angels also face it. Then, even then, we normally, we don't touch it. We don't speak about it. We don't mind it. What would be the reason? I have noticed some 6 reasons. Very quickly we shall try to see those 6 reasons. The first thing is, maybe, I don't say it is the reason, maybe one of the reasons would be easy life. What is easy life? See, generally speaking, as I was just telling you, even in a Bible study also, we all like easy life. See, it is. Listen, keep on listening. See, that's the way we all prefer that. We all prefer to enjoy. We all prefer to sit peacefully, comfortably. Easy life we all like. So what we do is, we are not willing to go to the area where we will have to fight. We will not go, or we are not prepared to go to that extent where we will have to stand for the Lord and take a stand and fight and be attacked by the evil forces. We won't go there. We are comfortable to sit in a corner and be at ease. So that may be the first reason. That may be one reason why we just neglect or ignore or forget that evil forces are there, actively opposing the work of God, actively opposing the people of God, actively working against the plan of God and the purposes of God and the people of God. And we are not aware, or we don't think that we have to fight against it. And we have to fight against it and win and find victory over the evil forces. So the first reason would be easy life. See, it may not be in this context, it may not be right. That verse may not be applicable here. There is a Bible verse, you know, in the book of Amos. One sentence is there, maybe we can take it here. You see, in the book of Amos, you see, chapter 6, verse 1. Amos 6, verse 1. It's written there, the first sentence, just see. Woe to you who are at ease in Zion. What is that? Woe to you who are at ease in Zion. Woe to you who enjoy pleasure. Woe to you who wants to live a peaceful, joyful, easy life. God hates it. God wants us to fight. God wants us to stand. God wants us to go forward. God wants us to confront the enemy, not to sit somewhere in the corner. Okay. So the first thing is easy life, and God hates such easy life. So that may be the reason why we don't give more importance to the spiritual warfare. And the second reason would be very much close to that. That is worldliness. What is worldliness? See, worldliness means we give all our energy. We give all our time, resources, everything for the things of the world. In order to enjoy this easy life, we give time, we give our money, we give our energy, we give all our resources. So we are only thinking about what? Enjoying life. Earthly life. A joyful life. Now, interesting thing is, even when we do spiritual activities, that also we do it for our entertainment. Enjoyment. Now, it's something we need to debate. Something we need to discuss. Not here. There are some believers are doing it. Many of the spiritual activities of believers today is a kind of entertainment. Because everybody has money. There is no problem with money. So they can have all kinds of musical instruments. They can have anything what they want. So enjoy spiritually. So singing is a time of enjoyment, preaching is a time of enjoyment, or any Christian activity, fellowship is a time of enjoyment, full of meal, full eat fully, eat, drink, make merry, enjoy. That is the way our program, many Christian program, children's program, many convention, you know, music fest and so on, and these things are there. There are many believers who take it in a different manner, how much spiritual it is, how much useful it is. So we prefer that only. We are not interested to fight. We are not interested to, fight against the evil forces. Or we are not interested to come to such a place, they will have to fight against devil and the angels. So we just enjoy this entertainment or enjoyment, even joyful spiritual activities. So first thing I said, easy life. And secondly, worldliness. Or our interest for entertainment. Our interest for enjoyment. Enjoy. That's all. Okay. The third reason is, I think that's more meaningful, that's more relevant, that is unproductive life. Unproductive life means, you see, devil will attack, or you understand that, any enemy will attack always key people or key places. Now Pakistan, I should not say Pakistan, or any, see, India has many enemy, you know. Every country has enemy. So our enemy, when they will attack our nation, they are not going to attack a village in a remote place in Kerala. Eh? I'm coming from a very remote place. You may know Thani, not actually my birthplace there, that is Malasheri, but Thannithod is a remote place where we stayed for some time. It's a very remote area. I don't think any enemy of India will attack Thannithod in Kerala. Why? Because that's a waste. If they do, that's a waste of their energy, resources and money. And even these terrorists are not going to attack me. I'm a simple man, you know, an ordinary man. But whom they will attack? People who are strong, people who are useful, people who are on the top, on high position. So enemy will attack only those who are productive, useful, effective, so devil. Devil also, Satan will also, satanic forces, evil forces will look for those Christians who are fruitful, who are effective in their spiritual life, who are productive in their spiritual life, who are useful in the assembly, who will stand for the Lord, who will speak the truth, who will stand for the word of God, who will be useful for God. And devil will not mind those nominal Christians sitting in a corner. You are sitting in a corner, I'm not against that. I just say sitting in a corner. So we should understand, what is the reason why we don't feel that there is a fight? Because the reason would be, maybe, not useless. See, even in Ephesians chapters in the book of Ephesians also, Paul speaks of Christian warfare only after explaining, I told you already, wealth of a Christian, then walk of a Christian. Don't forget, Ephesians chapter 1 to 3, wealth of a Christian. He is in Christ. He is in the heavenly places. He is in the church. 1, 2, 3. Then 4 and 5, walk of a Christian. And there Apostle Paul says you should walk worthy of the Lord. And walk in unity, in humility. And in chapter 5, walk in love. And also he speaks about the Christian's attitude in the workplace. In the end of chapter 5. And also submersive, many things are there, submersive. So when a Christian trying to enjoy his wealth in Christ, when a Christian trying to walk worthy of the Lord, in God's will, in the love of God, in humility, and also in submersiveness, in love, then he will realize, then he will face what? Opposition from evil forces. So as long as a Christian is not thinking or worried, not worried, or concerned about his spiritual position in Christ, and also concerned about living a worthy life,
a true walk, Christian walk,
he will not face evil attack or opposition from the evil forces. So Apostle Paul, that means the third reason why we don't feel a spiritual warfare in our Christian life may be because we are unproductive, useless Christians, just nominal Christians. Actually, John MacArthur, you know, that Bible teacher, he says, maybe even such Christians are fallen into some sin and living there. Devil is very happy. Devil is very happy. He's born again, no problem. He's saved, okay, no problem. Baptized, no problem. But living a useless life for the Lord, then he will not attack whom? Such Christians. See, we understand that about the Israelites. When they were in Egypt, they had no fight. Israel, in Egypt, they had no fight. And in the desert, they had fight. Here and there, there were some opposition. But once they came to Canaan, once they came to possess the land, once they came to capture the land and also to make the land their own, what happened? They had to fight. So much fight. It is by fight only they could possess. Before they could possess and before they could capture the land, they had to fight. So in the spiritual life, before we can achieve, before we can get something, before we can grow in our spiritual life, we can possess spiritual blessings, we will have to fight. It is that time we face the opposition or fight of the evil forces. That is number three, third reason. Now, number four, fourth reason. See that we find from Judges chapter 2. As I told you that in Canaan, they came, Joshua and the companions, they had to fight. But you see the next generation. You see Judges chapter 2, verse 10. We read there. But all the generation had been gathered to their fathers. Another generation arose after them, who did not know the Lord, nor the work which he had done for Israel. So there are many more things written. Verse 11. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. Many things are mentioned there. See, in the chapter 1, 2, and in the initial chapters of Judges, we see, often we read, another generation came after Joshua. They never knew what is a fight. Because they haven't seen a fight. So what's their problem? What is their problem? See, the new generation, because they are not aware of a fight. They don't know who God, they don't know how God gave this land for them. They are enjoying what their forefathers have yearned for them. Their forefathers came and fought. Their forefathers came and captured the land. And this new generation enjoying the blessings of what the forefathers had got. They don't know about the fight involved. They don't know about the enemy. They know nothing about the enemy. So what happened to them? They became indifferent to their condition, spiritual life. They were willing to compromise. They became, they could not stand for the Lord. They could not take a stand. They were ignorant. So the fourth point I have made is ignorance. Today that exactly happens. I don't need to tell you. You know it very well. The third and fourth and fifth generation, brethren, believers, they don't know the fight involved in a Christian's life. They only know many. I don't say everybody. Many, they think that raise the hands. That's finished. Very sad to see that nowadays, you know, very easily they get saved. Easily. How easily? One story of a monkey. You know, monkey, some monkey, the puppet show will be there.
And with the, after the Papar show, there will be an application or an altar call. And how many of you want to go to heaven? All the children will raise their hand. They don't know. They know nothing about sin. They know nothing about the Savior. They know nothing about the cross. They know nothing about anything. Only a story and raising hands, all got saved. And coming back, we all got saved. Baptized in Lord, breaking the Lord. Finished. And they know nothing about spiritual warfare. They know nothing about the, you know, spiritual warfare involved in a Christian's life. How to stand for Christ. How to pay the price for Christ, Christian life. How to sacrifice oneself for maintaining a Christian life. So, the fourth reason would be ignorance. Moses actually warned about it. When you reach there in Canaan, you teach your children. This is the thing happened. We see in Acts chapter 14, Apostle Paul going back to all the assemblies and telling them, with much suffering we have to enter into the kingdom of heaven. We have to fight. We have to stand. So, the fourth reason would be ignorance. And we need to understand, we need to teach that Christian life is not an easy thing. We cannot just saved. That again, something we need to debate. We need to consider. Can a person be just saved smiling? Can somebody be saved by smiling? Of course, joy would be the outcome, the result. But when a person got saved, he should be convicted of his sins. And he will have to cry. He'll have to look to the Lord with a desperate need for salvation. Okay, ignorance. Okay, number five. I told you only six reasons are there. Number five is misunderstanding. What is misunderstanding? I gave you four reasons why often we don't care about the spiritual warfare that we have to fight. The first thing may be easy life. And second is worldliness. Number three is unproductive life. And number four, ignorance. And number five is misunderstanding. What is misunderstanding? See, misunderstanding, ignorance are different, you know. Ignorance is totally ignorant. Misunderstanding means we understand in a different manner. See, when we come to the New Testament, we got saved by faith, by grace. Where do we read that? We should know that. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8, you know, very clear verse. We got saved, we have been saved by grace, not because of our works, by faith. So by grace, by faith, we have been saved, not because of our work. So that's the truth. For our salvation, we have done nothing and we can do nothing. And no work of an individual can save him. That's very clear. By even from Ephesians chapter 2:8, we understand even the faith itself is God's own gift. We cannot boast because I believe so I got saved. Even faith itself is God's gift. Yet the Bible teaches that as a Christian I have to do certain things. I have a role. God has done something that He alone can do. We can never add to His work. We don't need to add also. But we do have a role. We do have a responsibility. The word of God very clearly mentions. We have already seen in Ephesians chapter 4, 1, Apostle Paul says, you should walk worthy of the call. Many, many individual responsibilities are mentioned there. You should do this, do that, do this. And you remember in John's Gospel 15:4, the Lord says, you abide in me. Maybe you just read that. You can see the difference there. John's Gospel 15 verse 4. John 15 4. Very familiar verse it is. The Lord says, abide in me and I in you. Okay? Abide in me and I in you. What does it mean? Abide in me. Abide in Christ. So what shall we do? The Lord doesn't say, you abide in me and do something. He simply says, abide in me and I in you. Then you will be fruitful. But at the same time in verse 10 we read, if you keep my commandments. So abiding in the Lord is a true statement. abide in Him. We only need to abide in the Lord for spiritual fruitfulness. At the same time, where we read that, we have a duty. We have to fulfill the commandments, the will of God. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. So abiding in the Lord, that is one thing. Abide in Him. We don't need to do anything. But the Lord here says, you will keep my commandments if you abide in my, you will abide in my love. Another thing is in Hebrews chapter 11. Very well known chapter, chapter 11. There Apostle Paul or writer says that not only we need to be saved by faith, then by faith we have to live. So saved by faith, our salvation is by faith, and our Christian life also is by faith. So we are saved by faith, and we have to live by faith. That is in chapter 11. Then what do we read in chapter 12? In the beginning. Run. We have to run, you know. It's not written there. You remember that? We have to run the race. So what I want to say that, the Bible very clearly says, God has a role, man has a role. Grace means God does, no doubt about that. By grace God saves us. That doesn't mean that we have no duty at all. There are many Christians think that. Of course, there is the other way also. There are people who say we will be saved only after we fulfill our condition. Or we have got saved because we took baptism. Like that. I'm not going to that area. So, grace and, or another word we say, God's work, what God's role and human responsibility, man's role, it should go together, hand in hand. God has a role in our salvation. He saves us. And we have to fight. And we have to be active in the ministry. Or we have in our Christian life. We have to fight and we have to do good work. We have to strive. There are many other references in the Bible. Then only we shall be fruitful. Then only we shall get reward. And then only we shall grow. So for salvation, by grace we got saved. For spiritual fruitfulness, growth, victory, reward, we need to fight, we need to work. And finally, sixth reason why we are ignorant or we are not very serious about Christian warfare. Normally, before my last point, I prefer to ask question because I may get one more point, if you have another point, that's a good idea, So still I don't want to ask you because I already promised you that you don't need to ask to answer me today. So the sixth point that I have noticed is the reason why we do neglect spiritual warfare. That is, imagine, satanic deception. See, satanic deception means devil doesn't want anybody to know that there is a person like devil existing. Devil doesn't want anybody to know that devil is your enemy. He doesn't need no introduction. He doesn't need any introduction, sorry. He doesn't need any introduction. And he doesn't need any credit. And he doesn't want anybody to know that he isn't existing at all. We will see about devil later on. So it is his own deceptive activity. Or devil has made us in such a way we are not worried or we are not aware about even the existence of devil. Even the existence of an enemy that is working against us. We don't mind. We don't think and we don't care about the enemy. So here we see that in this series of studies we are going to study spiritual warfare. I just gave you some reasons. I just wanted to tell you this one point only. It's a truth. It's a fact that we are in a battlefield. Paul says, Peter says, the Bible says. See, when we go, I have already told you. The Lord Jesus Christ faced it. Spiritual warfare. He didn't face? He has faced. Before his,
of course, he can say even before his birth, but very particularly before the beginning of his ministry, as well as by the end of his ministry. Very severe, attack he had to face. And then the angels, I told you, angels had to face. Paul had to face, Peter had to face. Peter was very much attacked by devil. You remember that. The Lord said, Peter, devil asked permission for you. I prayed for you. So Apostle Paul and Peter and all the other saints, even the churches, they experienced warfare. And all of them, they're successful. As we have seen, Apostle Paul says, I fought a good fight. And there are some others who failed also, miserably failed. Demas. You remember that? And also Apostle Paul speaks about one, Hymenaeus, Alexander, all failed at the attack of the evil forces. Do you think that we have no fight? We have a fight. And you may be happy to hear that. If you are unproductive, if you are useless, you have no fight. Then you'll be happy about it. But every Christian who wants to lead a holy life, every Christian believer who wants to be fruitful, who wants to grow, who wants to be useful in the assembly, who wants to be useful for the people of God, they do face warfare. So we need to be ready for that. We need to know who our enemy is. And we need to know how can we overcome the evil forces. The Bible teaches us very clearly. We can be victors. We don't need to be a failure in our spiritual life. We can be victors. We can find success. But there is a way we need to understand that. And we need to understand the resources that we have by which we can fight against the evil forces. So may God help us that in these series of studies we understand more about the spiritual warfare that is involved in a Christian's life, and we may be overcomers, we may be victors. You remember in the book of Revelation chapter 2 and 3, some of the churches, they were facing the opposition of evil forces. The Lord repeatedly tells them, overcome, I will give a reward to you. So the Lord wants us to fight a good fight and overcome and be victors. May God help us for that.